The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Evan Turner checking in after the game. Point Forward going live on Twitter. Please check in. Come talk to us. Come chat with us. Get the scoop.
The new media is in the building.
Yes, sir.
Point Forward.
This is Andre Iguodala.
This is Evan Turner.
We're trying to get to the true essence of not just basketball, but life, and that means something, something, something.
It is like a finger pointing away to the moon. Don't concentrate on the finger or you will miss all that heavenly glory.
That level of understanding has been taken out of the game.
I guess, Evan,
let's talk about tonight, man. How you feel about tonight? Obviously, I was there. I was right behind the Celtics bench. Clearly, you know, it's rocking in there.
Yeah, it's rocking.
A lot of high-paced energy. Obviously, you missed game two. You came back for game three. What did you see? What did you think about the game tonight?
Yeah, well, I think they did a good job getting to the start. They got off to Jalen got off to a good start.
Yeah,
you know, it's becoming a theme where he gets going pretty early. Number 48. Or what's Jalen's number?
Number seven.
Number seven played well tonight. And it was – we cut it to – you know, because it was pretty large lead. And we were able to cut it going into the first quarter. When we got it to like 10 in the first quarter, I was like, okay, we're cool. Because it was like 20 to 30. Yeah. One thing that really stood out to me on the night was the amount of assists they had as a team.
Yeah.
And I looked up and it was like – five assists, six assists, four assists, three assists,
everybody.
You know, kind of, that was our formula. That is our formula.
Yeah.
You know, and I felt like both teams were taking care of the ball. They kind of got crazy a few times. They turned the ball over and then we would turn over. But I think both teams still did a decent job of keeping that turnover. Because, I mean, I think like 12 is the number.
You
want to stay under with taking care of the ball. And we had like two or three turnovers late. Like Steph did a good job taking care of the ball, but there were like two or three that kind of like half trapped them, half didn't. And it was like those pocket passes. Williams came up with a stealer too. And, you know, it kind of took some steam out of that run we made there in the third quarter.
He had some big blocks too. What did you think about the physicality? I think Boston came out really trying to, you know, establish themselves. I mean, even Peyton Pritchard hit a shot, get a block on Clay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A little Wolfram, what'd you think? I think the energy really was set from, you know, off the court and stuff, too.
The physicality was like it should be for the finals.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, you know, Steph did have four or five fouls. Draymond did foul out. So, I'm trying to figure out, you know, everyone talks about sending a message through the way you speak to the media between games.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought that when you really break it down, does that really work? And when you look at it from like a bird's eye view, you would say to yourself, that doesn't work. Like you can say whatever you want, but the game's going to be officiated the way it should be officiated.
Yeah, like, for sure.
Any talk outside the game, it shouldn't have any weight on how you go towards it. But I guess it just might be human nature too. But they play very physical, which it should be. But then on the flip side,
they had some success against that zone too, bro.
Yeah.
I thought they did a great job energy-wise of passing the ball really well. And, you know, clearly there was a couple moments in the game. Like I remember going into the second half I'm telling the team, the guy next to me, I'm like, man, if this is around 10, as a Celtics fan, I wouldn't like it because the Warriors are kind of confident with how they make their pushes. Because obviously, I've seen a bunch of times when they play versus you guys, like, man, y'all are up 17 now. They're coming to 10 going into the half confident. You guys, y'all took the lead at one point.
We took the lead. We went up two. And it was, it kind of felt like eerie for game one when we had control of the game.
Yeah.
And they closed it out crazy, like, you know, you haven't seen. And it was showing signs of that tonight.
Yeah.
But the opposite way. But they did a really good job. They called a timeout when we cut it. We went up two, and then they responded like boom. And before you know it, you look up, they're back up. You know, I think they went up like 4-6, and then you know, before you know it, it was 11. It was like, oh man, we in that hole again. It's 4 or 5 minutes to go, and you just keep having that uphill battle.
Yeah,
that is rough to keep climbing. Like you can't just keep being down 10. Yeah. They you gotta give them credit for the way they finished the game. And you know, I like the energy in the arena tonight, though.
Yeah. Speaking of uphill battle, not only on the court but off the court, it seems like you know, judging from 3 or 4 years ago to now, the energy shift. It seems like there's an uphill battle to kind of, you know, to keep the Warriors in the spotlight, or even just to be the favorites in a sense. You know what I mean? Like, you see post game, you know, the certain media people are, you know, on Draymond about what he said with the podcast, he feels they're trying to nitpick or. Like Clay said, the whole crowd's doing FU Draymond chants and everything like that. Like, where's the momentum being down 2-1 and kind of, you know, fighting off the new kids on the block? You know, sometimes it's when it's the lions in the jungle, you know, you really have to recover yourself. And, you know, being in Boston and TD Garden isn't the it was crazy in there, bro.
Yeah, it's a great,
like,
it's a great
place. It was so packed, bro. I got the itching. Yeah. Like, people was just on me. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a great place to, you know, experience, you know, basketball at its highest level. And everyone's going to be better from that, both teams, home and road, you know, especially those young guys feeling that energy. That's how what it should feel like. But, you know, you always got to remind yourself, like, who you are.
Yeah.
You know, the interesting thing about the media, I don't even know if they know it, but maybe they do. And they all got egos, too.
Yeah, for sure.
And they want to be felt.
Yeah.
So they just throw different things out there. They throw different things out there and get so many reactions, and now they really start feeling themselves, and they start really thinking that their word is the
law.
Bible.
Yeah, of course.
Their word is law. And I have to remind, I only have to remind myself, because I know my brain works totally different than theirs, you know, and I'm not tooting my own horn, but I'm like, listen, man, it's different from being out here than you never did it. We talk about this all the time when we do the pod. And I had to tell somebody one time, like, you know, these boys didn't really had the league in a chokehold for a whole decade.
For sure.
And those shots they send, because, you know, one guy's smart enough to say, I might as well speak for myself because you're going to take my words and be on top of my words and lift yourself up.
For sure.
And you got guys that are getting multi-million dollar deals. You know, with the Disney Network, with Turner Sports Networks. Let me
you're
say
talking
this.
About non-athletes, right?
No, when I say Disney, I'm talking about ESPN.
Yeah, but you mean or with athletes,
With athletes and the non-athletes. And it gets interesting, and I'm watching something, you know, talking to Kevon. You know, Kevon's a smart mind. Kevon says, man, I can't watch TV. And I was telling him I watched Boomerang this week, and I watched No Worries. My wife got that. Yeah, she's getting the food. Excuse that, y'all. We're really live, y'all, in my room.
That's
but
new media.
It bothers me that I'm watching something. Like, Loon was saying he can't escape the finals. Like, I was watching Boomerang. I watched Coming to America. Like, you got to escape this thing, because people don't understand. The easiest part of being in the finals is the actual game.
Yeah.
It's everything around it that is just
a circus. Yeah.
It's just like, you know, we call it a circus, and we're the zoo. Like, we're the zoo animals. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so he was saying, man, I can't even turn the TV on. He was like, I like boxing. I'm listening to my boxing podcast, and they talking about the finals. He's like, I can't escape it.
Yeah.
So I try not to watch anything. I watch Bloomberg, and I just so happened to flip and see something where they were asking Steph how much would a finals MVP mean to him. And I was really like thinking to myself, come on, man, we can't just keep watering down a brand like this, man. Like, do y'all know who this man is?
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, like we said recently.
He has to have a, and that's what brought me back to my statement the only legacy that matters is generational wealth.
Ooh, boom, boom, boom.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's like you're really asking him, like, if he doesn't have this, then what does it mean?
Yeah,
because
you're basically chasing your own tail. Like, when we had the podcast and we had stuff on, you asked him, like, what's next? And I literally was being honest with him. I was like, bro, you don't need none of that stuff.
None of
Steph Curry. Like, if you want a trophy, sure, but does it change what you've done? Like, absolutely not. You know what I mean?
And that's it's that was bothering me.
But when you're talking about, like, basketball, and you're talking about everything with legacy and talking about kind of watering down, I think sometimes with the media and everything, a lot of guys try to they try to make anything out, like, try to make a story out of anything. So, you know, right now it seems as though if the Celtics win, it's going to be a change of guard. So you're somewhat building new legacy and building new superstars. Obviously, we're in a point where, you know, there's a lot of great older players. There's a lot of great younger players. And clearly, you know, they're battling for position and battling for, you know, head rank. So I think that's the number one thing that occurs in regards to what's going on with the media, because a lot of people want to break his story and say, remember, I told you this. Remember, I told you that. I think, you know, one thing that might occur when we talk about the number one thing being generational wealth, as a player that just retired and stuff, and even reading from your book, The Sixth Man, it's like some of the stuff I played through or asked about or whatever else, or maybe we're older and we're dads, and you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Maybe our daughters made us soft, but you're like, bruh, it don't. I'm literally somebody putting a battery in my back, and like, you come back 3 years from now, dudes won't even let you in the door. Like, you got these same media people that will legit ask you, who are you?
Yeah. That was on the Winning Time with Pat Riley. He walked up to the forum and they were like, who are you? He was like, I just played here. You move around.
Yeah, move around, clown. And then you look at the rings. It's just a garbage piece of ring. Like, I mean, not it's a lit ring, but like when you come down to his legacy and everything matters. You feel me? So
I would say more than anything that, you know, your accomplishments can help you into doors you normally wouldn't get into.
Right, absolutely.
So with generational wealth, your accomplishments are a part of that.
Yeah.
But he's done everything he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
And to build generations, you got to build on to your accomplishments, because in our world, Jerry West said in his book, the only profession where as you get older, you get smarter.
Yeah.
That's just as a human, right? Yeah. But in our profession, the older you get, your skill set actually declines. It's the only profession where the older you get, your skill set declines. Yeah. And that, you know, made me realize, okay, you take those accomplishments and then you leverage that.
Yes.
You leverage those accomplishments to get you in other doors. So why wouldn't a guy like Draymond Green set himself up for success to build on top of his accomplishments? And his way is the new media. And he's doing an incredible job.
Amazing job. You know,
we keep tabs on where the rankings are with Sport Podcast, and he's number 3, I think.
Yeah,
and
he's taking a lot of bullets for us.
He's taking a lot of bullets, bro.
You know,
and I've spoken about this being a sacrificial lamb.
Yeah.
So the next wave can be set up for success.
Yeah, but you're definitely feeling somewhat like the hater, being like, "Oh, this is what you're doing," or people are nitpicking, because at the end of the day, respect to all journalists that go to college and get their journalist degree and everything. It is what it is. But I mean, experience trumps everything. So when you're playing a game, but dude with the war, he gonna tell you what gun to shoot, as opposed to a person making it like, this gonna work, or that, like, nah, dog, I just lit up 15 people. This ain't gonna fail me. It ain't gonna jam. You know what I mean? Right. So
and then we're humans, and that confidence can waver when you keep constantly hearing this noise that is trying to knock you because you're doing something that's unconventional. But I think it takes someone like Draymond Green, whose confidence won't be knocked, and you might not like how you receive his message. And, you know, he'll respond like he normally does. And then at the end of the day, Father Time always wins. So our time is going to come regardless. Yeah. But
Beloved brands know customer relationships are everything. That's why over 130,000 trust Klaviyo to power smarter digital relationships across their websites, emails, SMS, and reviews. And now, there's Klaviyo AI, your guide to smarter insights, decisions, work, and results. Brands like Everyman Jack trust Klaviyo AI to personalize product recommendations that keep customers coming back. Discover Klaviyo AI at klaviyo.com/box. That's KLAVIYO.com/box.
Everywhere you look, people seem to be worried that kids are suffering an unprecedented mental health crisis and that smartphones and social media are to blame. But how accurate is this belief?
It is a compelling narrative because it allows you to think as a parent, like, oh, it's not me or choices I'm making. It's this thing that has reached out and affected my child.
I'm Taylor Lorenz, and this week on Power User, we're talking about the moral panic around kids and technology and what we can all do to actually help children. It's not what you think.
This week on The Pitch, it's tween time.
We're redefining feminine hygiene for tweens.
You've done 5 million in sales. You did 3 million last year. Very impressive.
Thank you.
I really believe in this category. I'm an investor in a company called AmpFloat.
And similarly, I'm a personal investor in Ruby Love.
Like Elizabeth and Charles, I have seen a lot of these companies. Mm-hmm. I've never made an investment in the space. You should be raising more than $500,000.
As a Black woman, for me to come on here and say, I'm going to become the new Always, that's super audacious. And I could
Love
we,
Always.
For sure.
What makes it audacious?
Yeah,
it
let's just do means, it. Let's
do it. That's what I wanted to hear.
I get the sense back her experience might have been a little different.
That looked really expensive.
This week on The Pitch, Monica Williams drops the mic. Go right now and subscribe to The Pitch wherever you listen to podcasts.
So when you break it down, clearly, you bring up, like, you look at the early thousand Yankees, or sometimes you might look at how the Spurs went, or you might look how even the Lakers went when, you know, Dallas took them out with four games. To avoid that type of situation where they say, you know, great dynasties rise up, and then it could come crashing down, quote unquote. But with this group, I don't. This is a different type of group that's been through a lot. Like, you guys are down 2-1. Where does the mentality come from being like, we're not going to be a statistic? We hear about all this media and everything else, and, like, you say, let's just keep it simple, like, tomorrow, do y'all get in together and be like, hey, man, are we going, like, let's just drown this noise out and let's be who we going to be.
Yeah, and I don't even think the noise is really bothering us.
Yeah.
Which that's encouraging me. Like, the noise isn't really bothering us.
Is it lack of respect?
Nope, definitely not that, because I really like this team. And and I know we like this team we're playing up against.
Yeah.
And I've said this many times. I want the NBA champion to be a worthy NBA champion.
Absolutely.
And you got a finals right now where both teams are worthy. So it's going to come down to those little things.
Yeah.
And there's a side of not knowing what to expect that can be a gift.
Yeah.
Because they feel like this might never happen again.
Yeah.
And they're all locked in. Yeah. Whereas where the other side of it, you got a team that's been there many a times and they know what to expect and they're always calm. But you always say a wounded dog is the scariest dog.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they're wounded, but that's that feel like, you know, we've been here before. So it's like, all right, we've seen this before.
We've been down 3-1.
We've been down 2-1 before. We've been down 3-1 against a great OKC team. Yeah.
They were
probably the best team in the league that year.
Yeah,
I always say
that.
I always say
big.
That. Right. Yeah. So I said, we've been here before. So you still got to remind us, like, all right, we've been here before and we know we can do what we need to do to get the job done. But let's not just let experience
be it.
Keep us confident.
Yeah.
No, we got to get desperate at the same time.
Yeah. Everybody from coaching staff
everybody.
To
and there's a lot
top,
of moving
bottom,
parts.
There's
a lot of moving parts that most people can't see or don't see that I see
that
I can't reveal right now that I will. And there's a lot of moving parts you can't see that, you know, now I may, as the vet, I may have to step in and make sure that this doesn't go unspoken. You know what I mean? And like I said, I think these next couple games are going to be really good games. You know, those guys are feeling like they're feeling like they got to win because everyone's always been afraid of us. And that's another thing I would say about our group, right? And I'm talking about Steph, Clay, Draymond, and the chokehold they had on the league. For as much, you know, throwing pebbles at a glass house that people do with us, they throw so much to try to knock us. You know who respects us the most? Our opponents.
That's real.
Our opponents don't take us lightly.
No, of course. I mean, if Steph gets one shot, like, everybody starts panicking. Like, bro, you can't do that with him. Like, you understand what I'm saying? Or you be up 15 by, hey, bro, they trying to come punch.
But if you just listen to the rhetoric around the game that's not in the game, you would think we haven't done what we've done. And yeah. it's a little fluky. Their time is up. Who's next? And when we're in that game, them other players are like, yo, we got to win tonight or else.
No, for sure. We go back here. It's over,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah. So I'm liking all that. And I know exactly what to do. I know exactly what to say tomorrow to make sure we do what we got to do. And it's not guaranteed that it's going to work. It may not be the perfect or the right thing. But, you know, that's a part of the veteran that has become like the NFL running back. I keep talking about that. Like, it's not as valued.
Yeah, for sure.
By organizations anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about, you know, go a little bit younger, you know, draft picks. You know, let's not waste time on the older players.
Yeah.
But it's something with a guy like Kevon Looney. It's something with a guy like, Al Horford's making a lot of money.
Yeah.
But a guy like him at a lesser number, like, those are really important figures on the team that has kind of lost its whatever you want to call it. But if I'm not on the court, I know how to have an impact off the court. And, really looking forward to the next challenge. You know, we got one day of rest, and we see how that's the great thing about sports. You know, you bounce right back and you make the right adjustments. And Steve Kerr always says it. That's why you pour champagne on each other, because of all the nonsense and all the, you know, the hard parts of getting through it.
Yeah, that's real.
And then I want to also note, if you want to ask us any questions, add us at .44 with a few questions, and we'll try to get them answered. So. Access on our Twitter page at .44.
So Dre, so we're going into Friday's game, and we're sitting here. Maybe this is too soon. Like when you look at the two young guys, like just judging for yourself. I sometimes put myself back when I was 24 or 25. Mm-hmm. You look at like JT or like Jalen.
Yeah.
How impressive is it for them to be ready in this situation versus? You who you're very well going up against. Like right. Steve Kerr won 10 championship rings. Yeah. Steph, Draymond are literally timeless players. Like, do you see something from there, from the other side, where it's like, I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's
touche. Like,
yeah, always.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you might be like, man, whatever, it's cap. Like, that's cap. But like.
No, it's definitely not that. I saw Jalen Brown. I was his coach.
Yeah.
At the top 100 camp.
That's crazy.
NBPA. Like, I was his coach.
Yeah.
So I saw it, and I'm like, now this kid got it. And he was younger, so everyone's talking about Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah.
I think Kevon Looney was there. Devin Booker was there.
Yeah,
so that class of players, everyone was talking about them. And I'm like, yo, this kid is younger, and his composure is just different.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just seeing JT from St. Louis. St. Louis always got a killer.
Yeah, for sure.
Just hitting, you know,
Randy
and just
Bill.
Come out of nowhere, you know what I mean? Sure. You know, I grew up in the era of David Lee. Like, he was on their level as a high school player. So, you know, just knowing the St. Louis style of ball players, and they're killers. But the league is younger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When we came in, we had to go through. Like Kobe.
Yeah.
You know, and you even go like lower tiers. I shouldn't say lower tiers, but the tier beneath that was like, we would always say the guys I would have to guard, like Joe Johnson was a problem.
Yeah.
Joe Johnson was like an 8-time All-Star.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you say his name, and these young players don't understand, like,
what 6'8", 240 on an island can do for you.
Yeah, we were seeing it. Michael Redd. You know what I mean? Like, those were you know, Mike Mello, and it was Bron, obviously. People forget Jerry Stackhouse led the league in scoring.
Yeah.
You know, people, you know, I had Dirk, you know, Tim Duncan was still there.
Right.
You know, the Pistons team?
Yeah, crazy. They were loaded.
You were talking about this atmosphere we just had in Boston. That Pistons team? Going into Detroit was one of the scariest places to play
basketball. Especially with the announcer.
Oh, my God.
Detroit. True.
And then you had to go down there and see and Ben Wallace and Rasheed. People don't know how good Rasheed Wallace was.
Yeah. Had he not had, like, all that craziness, or he'd be a top 10 player.
Of all time.
He was shooting 40% back in, like, 01, 02.
And he wasn't shooting threes. Rasheed could shoot left and right-handed.
Yeah, and he was hooping the Air Force once. He was a problem.
I'm talking about, like, it was grown men. Now it's younger, so not to take anything away from those guys, but when you see the way the league's trending, you know, these young boys are getting opportunities much earlier. You know what I mean? And I think that's going to be great for the league, because they can play for a longer extended period of time. I think Jalen Rose spoke about it. He was like, you know, they're freeing up the game. a little bit with some of the rules so guys don't get hurt.
Yeah.
And then you have a longer career. So, yeah. You know, that these young guys are getting a chance to start off early. You know, looking at Luka. We were just talking about Luka, Joker, yeah. You know, all these young players, Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
You know, all those yeah. young guys are getting an opportunity to where, you know. But Tony Parker did it and Kobe did
yeah,
it.
Yeah, true, true, true.
You know, they came in, so those boys can play.
So, do me a favor. Compare this finals. You've been to, like we said, you've been to 7 finals in 8 seasons. Mm-hmm. So, compare this finals up there with the last 6, you know what I mean? Even Miami, like, you know what I mean? Show, like, differentiate the difference.
Yeah, well, this one is close to, you know, we went down 2-1 to Cleveland on the first one. People don't remember that we were down 2-1
yeah,
on that one.
Yeah, and I do remember. Del Dadova.
Right, right. Del Dadova had him a moment. He had him a Lynn moment for a week
man,
or two.
Man, shoot. He was in Steph.
For about a week, man.
Yeah, like, and then Steph got to him.
Yeah, then you just, you know, yeah. make a little adjustment here and there. But we were down 2-1, and against Toronto, we were down 2-1, and they were a worthy champion. So I never say we were beat up and hurt, and like everybody was hurt on that yeah. team. But they were worthy champion, so I would never say that because yeah. I think they deserved it. You know, it was, you know, I was happy for those guys. Like, they had a player
yeah.
play their best game of their life every single game, a different
Fred
guy.
VanVleet.
Fred yeah. had a game
he
of his life.
He shot 80% from the field.
Yeah. North Carolina. Shooter.
Danny Green
had a game of yeah. his life, and he couldn't make a shot the whole series.
And then Kawhi, I mean, when you break it down.
Kawhi was constant.
Yeah, Kawhi was just. Kawhi.
I mean, Serge had a game. Kawhi, yeah. Serge had himself a game.
Yeah, yeah.
Paul Gasol, Marc Gasol had himself one game, yeah. and we didn't hear from Kyle Lowry much until
so
game
half,
6.
Yeah, the half.
Yeah, 20 yeah. and a half. Oh, yeah. my God. So we just, you know, it was interesting how it happened. And then in Miami, we go to the finals, and you kind of were like, yo, we had to play perfect, and they had to play not so well for yeah. us to win. So it was kind of like, you know, you go into every series thinking, like, I can win. But it was like, yo, we got to play perfect, and they got to play, like, below average for us to win.
Yeah,
so you kind of yeah. see. So you see the outcomes of certain series. Now, this is one of those series where it can go either way. Both teams had to play well. Like, Boston played really well tonight. Mm-hmm. They played great, and we didn't play as good, and we were kind of, it yeah, was like, yeah. they, it was, were, I mean, they were nervous in there.
Yeah, for sure. Up by 2, bro.
The boys were nervous yeah, in there. Yeah. So I'm liking, you know, the evenness of the matchup. And, yeah. and I hope it just, you know, we keep it real basketball and no interferences on either side. And may the best win, man, win.
Yeah, I like how, I think the coolest part about it is how, just from the side, looking at everything, you look at, you know, championship experience and everything, like when 6 minutes hit, it's inspiring how people lock in, and like you're seeing both players dive on the ground, how much it means yeah. to both teams yeah. and everything. Even at the end when it's a little fiasco when he jumped on Steph's leg and all that yeah. stuff. But like, dudes want it bad, man. And I think yeah. people ask me on the streets all the time, like, who's going to win? And I'm like, just enjoy it, because I think this is the most even finals
yeah.
in a while.
Yeah, yeah. You got a lot of talent on yeah. both teams. A
lot of scoring power, too,
a lot
bro.
Of scoring
they,
power.
They keep y'all from taking a lead, or you know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
They yeah, scoring, yeah, bro.
Yeah, yeah. They're doing a really good job.
Yeah.
Everybody's complimenting each other really yeah. well on their team. Like I said, those assist numbers that were, I'm looking up, like, man, they got like 4 or 5 dudes with
yeah.
4 or 5 assists.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. All right. But, you know, you make the right adjustments, and, you know. You
and shout out Marcus Smart, bro. Buddy doing 25 a night, bro.
Marcus
going crazy.
Marcus and I had a funny conversation in the regular season about a shot I made, and he did it tonight. He made one of those shots tonight, and he knows what I'm talking about. It was funny. I'm like, oh, like, he makes one. I'm like, okay, tip your hat. They win the game tonight.
Yeah.
You got to do nothing but respect.
All right, we got questions coming in.
Yeah, somebody said, why does it sound like a funeral? You got 4 games left, and I don't think people realize, like, I was speaking on it earlier where, you know, you – it's so draining.
It's also 138.
No, they right don't now. Understand. Like,
yeah.
the game isn't that hard. The game is kind of easy to play. You know, you just got to put your hard hat on and just
yeah.
go to work and follow the game plan. But around the game, it's a complete SHIT show. Like,
yeah.
complete show. And then that's from everywhere. All the interviews, all the questions. Then you're searching for a getaway, and you're in your room, and every time you flip the channel, it's on.
Man, at the end of the day, bro, you're a trained fighter, trained warrior. It's like, bro, let's just do it. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's get to the game. The games are scheduled. You know, sometimes we'll talk about it. It is what it is. They want to know, Dre, what did you say to Andrew Wiggins when you pulled him aside? Because I don't even think you yelled at Lil Dre like that or get that passionate with Lil Dre. But shout out to Wiggins for, you know, obviously listening, taking in. I know you're a big fan of Andrew.
Yeah.
And you know how you tell me how many times how great he can be, how great he is. And obviously that's the same narrative that's come from the Warriors camp numerous times. And obviously he's a wild card in a sense of if he plays well, in any sense, y'all beating teams 10 straight times.
Yep. And
there's a lot of pressure, too.
it's not just him. You know, we got to make sure, you know, you got to make sure you help everybody be a threat, too, while you're on the court. Yeah. You know, that was kind of like, that's kind of like my expertise.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
I can find everybody's strengths and let them play to their strengths while I'm on the court with them. Yeah. It's just something that you can't see. And you and I know that because we're point forwards.
Yeah.
But I was really letting him know. And I was thinking about this on the ride home. Like, man, I like that because what they're doing is they're searching for Wiggins on defense. And they're, like, chucking him on the picks.
Yeah.
They're trying to get him off
Tatum.
Tatum.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, you're supposed to take that as a compliment.
Yeah. Because he's pure hell, bro.
And don't accept them trying to just chuck you. Because they're chucking him, and it's hard for him to, like, get back on around the screen. But
Steph used to be great at pushing up and going under two, but you can't do that with two or three fouls.
Exactly.
Him and J.R. Smith used to always wrestle.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I was giving Wiggs some – I'm yelling at him, but I'm giving him confidence.
Yeah.
And people would know that. And the hardest part about coaching or giving that type of feedback to a guy is for them to accept it.
Yeah.
And that's why it feels so good to win a championship, and that's why those championship bonds last so long, because I was able to go directly at you on something, or, and you didn't take it personal.
Or like what? But I remember you telling me that in a World Championships game when Chauncey Billups cursed you out on impossible.
Chauncey Billups, a defensive player, a
defensive
out.
Dude, and he's like, "And you call out a player or something, right?"
Yeah. So I'm a guard naturally, and we were switching early back then in 2010. We could switch everything.
Yeah.
And I had a center, and he set a screen on Chauncey. And I couldn't figure out what coverage to call because I'm like, oh, me and Chauncey don't switch.
Yeah, yeah, and you're a center. You like, so, I feel where you.
So now I'm playing the center. I'm like,
weak.
Right. I'm like, I got stuck.
Chauncey.
Right? Chauncey was like, yo, what you doing? I'm like, man, my bad, whatever. He was like, yo, you are the center now, so you have to call the play out as a big. And he was going in on me. And I'm thinking to myself, like, I'm the best defensive player. I lead the team in minutes. But that's Chauncey Billups. Like, the way he said it to me, I was like, yes, sir.
Yeah, for sure.
And I just kept it moving.
Yeah. And you're probably mad because, you know, them big men be kneeing to the quads. Yeah. He probably have his pass
but it's
on.
Funny because this
was curse everybody out in the
this
area.
This was like practice. This wasn't even the game. Oh, so we were going against, like, the select team.
Yeah,
like, we have 20 anyway.
Yeah.
But when we went to the real games, I didn't have no problems. Yeah, and I just think that's just the rapport Wiggs and I have built. And I want him to have success so bad that I'm just, you know, I know how to – I think that's a skill set you learn to have. How do you get the best out of your players? And not everyone's the same.
Yeah.
Because I can't do that to another guy or to another guy. You kind of like, that's the hardest part about being a coach. People don't realize it's like there's so many different personalities you have to try to manage. And
especially if you don't even talk to a dude off the court. Like sometimes, like, why should I listen? You know what I mean? You got to really have a real rapport to really, that's an understatement.
There you go.
Even if you're right or wrong.
There you go. Another question, why don't the Warriors complain about officiating as much as your opponents? We were just talking about that in terms of, like, do you posture between games to you know.
I feel like that's y'all arrogance, bro. I feel like y'all just think, like, man, we should have won anyway.
True, but you know
what I mean? Like, in the grand scheme, it's like, I'm not even about to lie. Like, I don't even like to bring it up or be a war. Steph and them again messed up. Like, we didn't play games where I didn't want to see people line scar, like, grab Steph, where I think you get too used to it. It's like Steph ain't been going to a line ever for a superstar.
Crazy, right?
Clay either, like, you know what I mean? So when it come down to it, like, who's really getting those fouls? So I think y'all kind of years ago grew to say, forget it, we're going to win anyways. And like, bro, Steph used to lead a game versus us, bro. I used to like, bro, who grabs you, G?
All he's had that every night.
Yeah, like, I'd be like, bro, like, my mom saw me with a scratch like that, she'd be mad. Like, you know what I mean?
Nah, and it's just be like, I don't think it's arrogance. I think it's just get to be a waste of time because, you know, we had those years where people were saying it's unfair. And that's the payback for it, which makes absolutely no sense. Yeah. But I'll take a page from the Miami Heat. You know, I'm a big fan of Spo, big fan of Pat Riley. And Spo will always say, I'm not doing that. I'm not sending no clips into the league. I'm not doing it that way. Like, I'm going to let you cry and complain, and I'm still going to bust you in the mouth. Like, you're still going to win. So it's a little bit of, like, that's the edge. That can cause you to have edge. Like, I'm not going to say nothing. Like, I remember in college, Hassan Adams, my man, my roommate, my freshman year. Shout out to Hassan Adams.
Money.
So we used to play in a rec, and Hassan would always cheat in the rec.
I hate that.
And I used to be like, bro, stop it. And then it was one day he kept cheating, and I was just like, you know what? I'm going to let him call a bad call all the time, and I'm still going to win. So it was almost like the big brother.
Yeah.
Like, all right, do what you got to do. Don't work. Because then you could defeat it.
No, you just like, bro, as a kid, I would hate you, G. Like, we were shorties, G. I would not mess with you at all. I hope everything bad happened to you.
All right, next question. Someone asks, what do you think about the gamesmanship off the court this series? What you think, Evan?
I think it's been straight. I don't think anybody's been talking like crazy, right?
No, I don't think so either.
Not amongst players. Yeah. Like, not amongst players. I think one thing that occurred where you got to give Jason Tatum credit for, when they tried to even stir the pot this morning about Draymond talking and this and the other, it's like, nah, I mean, that's what Draymond do, and I like it.
Yeah,
I like that. You understand what I'm saying? I think, like, with leaders amongst leaders, it's like, hey, bro, we wrestle, we scrap, we hit. If it ain't beef, it ain't beef. I think it's honor amongst thieves right now. Like, only static coming is from media, bro.
True story.
Now, like, the only thing occurring is media. And even at night, the other day and stuff, it's like, y'all keep it chill or whatever, but it's like, I'm like, bro, stop asking these dumbass questions. I'm a 3-time NBA champion. I'm a legend in this game. Stop trying to stir my pot, bro.
But then you arrogant, and then they wait for you to have a big game.
No, I'm accomplished. I'm everything. I'm all that.
The other way to do it is just go do what they do. Like, Lou Williams had a great response to anybody that would heckle him. And he would say, you can't come and do what I'm doing, but
I can
come and do your job.
Yeah.
And that's what's...
Ryan Clark said that to the folks back in the day when he's playing for the Steelers, and they got so upset. And he's like, no, I'm going to be... said, be in this position.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no disrespect to anybody, but I have experience on the field and off the field. I can learn where I can either do what y'all do or do it better. And I remember there's three dudes like, no. And it's like, now look.
Yeah.
Look what he's doing.
And there's a... You know, we take what we do with Point Four very serious because, you know, it's a passion project, but we see it as a viable business.
Yeah.
But there's a little something in there. You know, you got great recipes, and there's something you can't call it out. It's like, it's something in there. It's a hint of this. It's a hint of mint. It's a hint of...
The salt page.
Yeah, it's something, right? And there's an ingredient in there called... I'm going to show y'all how to really do it. Like, I can do what y'all do, and I'm going to do it better. Shout out to, you know, JJ Redick is doing his thing.
Yeah, shout out JJ.
You know, they were having some fun with Stephen A. You know, I'm
CJ.
Yeah, there's a few pods out there I'm really enjoying. Yeah. Q and Darius, I'm big fans
of. Yeah, shout out to them.
But I think what we're going to build is people aren't going to expect. I think they kind of expect it. They know me. You know, they don't know you as well, and I can't wait for them to really get to know you. But it's about to get real, real, and, you know, there's that seasoning in there where it's a few folks I want to have conversations with, or I'm address.
Yeah.
I just won't do it right now. But, you know, we're still in the finals. It's day by day. You know, we're going to take tonight. No one sleeps during the finals. So.
Of course not. I mean, right now, shoot, it's, what is it? It's like 2 right now?
It's almost 2. It's 1:45.
I hate these finals when I hang out with you because I end up, my sleep schedule be off because we be up till like 5 my time while you discussing.
Yeah, you don't sleep.
Yeah.
You don't sleep, but, you know, it's just, that's what the champagne is for.
Yeah,
like,
you
get exhausted and you just gave everything. Like,
you
can't escape it at no point.
Right.
Whether it's 4 a.m., like, you wake up thinking about a play.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way it should be.
And the excitement of it, too, bro.
Yeah, the excitement. Yeah.
Like, you're living a dream, too.
Yeah. True story. And I think that's the key to it. You got to enjoy the dream and not let that noise take it away from you. Because I've been in here so long and, you know.
7 finals, 8 years.
Took shots, hit my body up. I'm tired. Build me up to break me down and build me up again. And, like, we need you back so we can kill your ass again.
Yeah.
Like, Grammy family freestyle. Like, I can't wait to, you know, when I'm done, that's going to be my going out song.
Yes.
But the next chapter, you know, IPO hold, no need to reverse merger, the boy money talk, no need to converse further.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a Maybach though. I like my Tesla.
You are looking at one smart black boy. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah. Right. And they take us for granted.
Yeah, put me anywhere on God's green earth, I triple my word.
Yes. So appreciate y'all tapping in. Hopefully you got some gems. Sorry to whoever thought this sounded like a funeral, but that's what losing feels like. I hope losing should feel like a funeral. If you don't feel losing, then you know this probably ain't for you. Tune in Friday for the next podcast episode of Point Forward, and we'll catch you at game 4.